Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Mr. Eric D. Snyder, sitting in for Don Taylor today. Eric D. Snyder is, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
At least 40 are dead after Mexican drug gangs battle. A West Lynn man rescues a woman from a bear in Yellowstone Park. And a van used to take drunk people home is taken for a ride by a drunk guy.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, possibly not that shocked, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, brace your innards! For this is Legion of News. Hello, Eric D. Snyder.
Hello, Rick Emerson. How are you?
I am well, sir. Thank you for joining us today and filling in for Don Taylor, who is... I think they're just using like a big... what is that thing they used to say in the IBM cards? Not fold, spindle, staple, bend, or mutilate?
Yeah.
They are doing all of those things to Patrick.
Yes, they are.
Today. So,
yet again.
So Patrick is just being... Really, he's just being perforated from every conceivable angle at the hospital today. So Don is in absentia, as they say, and will be returning tomorrow. Mr. Eric D. Snyder can be learned more about... Wait, that was really... The syntax there was challenging.
That was something else.
And so forth at ericdsnyder.com and also as the co-host of Movie BS with Baron Snyder here at Cascadia.fm Fridays at 11 a.m. Mr. Eric D. Snyder can... There's a way that you can make that correct, even if you get off on a weird foot like I did.
Eric D. Snyder could be, I don't know, can be examined.
The preposition is just—it's looming like an obelisk.
The,
just,
the best answer would be to not start the sentence that way. I think
I just shouldn't speak. That really is the way.
You'd think you'd have learned by now.
Ladies and gentlefolk, here is Mr. Eric D. Snyder.
West Lynn man rescued a woman from a bear in Yellowstone Park. He was visiting with his family, and he rescued a hiker who was being threatened by a bear. His name is David Beecham. He's 37. He helped the woman escape from the approaching bear Friday at a remote lake in the park. The rescue happened just a few days after a man hiking with his wife in the park was killed by a grizzly bear. Beecham was in a kayak with his young son and his father-in-law. Beecham saw hiker Aaron Prophet coming down toward the lake with the large bear following her. They alerted Prophet, who waded into the water, but the bear kept a-coming. Beecham weighed the risks and paddled toward the woman and the bear. Quote, we just thought we've got to save this woman's life. But then on the other hand, I had my son in the kayak, so we were like, when do we go get her? And when the bear got too close, we decided we had to take some action.
You know, see, this is why he's a fundamentally different person than I am, because as the bear gets closer, I get further away. That
exactly.
is where my concern for my fellow man actually just plummets, and it just vanishes altogether, and I'm in the car headed home going, hell, that was something that nearly happened to us.
Well, this man from West Lynn is obviously a better man than you.
You know, it's
and
true.
And than me, I should say.
It's that's not like an exclusive club, but yes.
Here's how bad I am. I wouldn't have been in the park to begin with.
No.
Because there are bears there.
I would be at home listening to somebody talking about this story and going, well, I'm glad I wasn't anywhere near that location.
The ordeal played out before a CNN camera as a news crew was interviewing a park ranger about the dead grizzly attack from days before.
So, bears keep eating people, and in the background there's just
a bear eating someone.
Sort of a Family Guy cutaway joke happening in the background. Just dragging somebody in and out of frame over and over and over again.
Yeah, we've had a couple of bear attacks lately.
It's wrong to laugh at others, Eric.
And this one turned out okay. No one was hurt. The ranger on the scene Friday thought the bear was a juvenile grizzly. The ranger, Kerry Gunther, later said it was a black bear. So they can't even get their bears straight.
So this is really just, it was just juvenile foolishness, chicanery.
And all bears look alike to those Yellowstone rangers. Black bears are smaller and less aggressive than a grizzly, but has been known to attack humans. Beecham, his father-in-law, and his son were able to pull the woman away from the shore and across the lake just as the bear entered the water. We were afraid the bear was going to come after us. It was about 20 or 30 feet away, and we just real calmly stroked the kayak back.
And here's the thing is, I mean, and this is like the a couple years ago where it was like the summer of the shark. And
yeah.
It was the thing where sharks, I don't know, it's like they were sort of being peddled as this thing that was killing everybody, but it's like there were no more shark attacks than normal. So I wonder if that is the case here where the media has just decided, like this year in the Scrabble tile bag was, you know, bears.
Could be.
Or if, because our chief of staff, Cheryl Kanakoa, was on her, she went to us to Astoria a couple weekends ago. And she was actually on her way back and nearly hit a black bear. And I said,
really?
Well, that's sort of interesting. I said, you know, outside of a zoo, I've never really seen a bear in real life. And this was this morning at the Outlook Portland taping. And everybody in the room said the same thing, that they had never actually seen a bear in person, in the flesh. And yet, of the people in the room, like 80% of them had, though, within the last year. So I wonder if there is some sort of a bear uprise happening.
I could see that happening with, you know, it's probably because of global warming.
Right,
I think is the explanation for everything.
Global warming, yeah.
They're coming into the towns. And I don't know about, I'd be curious to know about Yellowstone. Because remember a few months ago when all the birds were dying?
I thought it was bees.
No, there were birds. Remember like a couple thousand birds just died for no reason?
Oh, they just fell out of the sky.
Right.
Yeah.
But then it turns out that happens all the time,
yeah.
And they just happen to just now report it.
But it's a thing that, you know, something, look over there, something we can be afraid of.
Right, right.
Over there, misinformation we can distribute to everyone. Wonderful.
Yeah, but maybe the bears are rising up against us.
Well, I mean, we deserve it. Honestly.
We have it coming.
I mean, yeah, seriously, I don't begrudge any animal for wishing to be at the top of the food chain.
I'm pretty sure the bears lived in Yellowstone Park before we did.
Yeah,
so
probably.
It's kind of their territory.
You know, and honestly, I mean, we've been lucky to hold them off so far because we're just fleshy and useless and pink.
Yeah.
You know, and those things can run like 30 miles an hour and they've got like 6-inch claws. So, I mean, it seems like we've overstayed our welcome as an apex predator.
I suppose it's really just out of politeness on their part that they haven't risen up already.
Because
they could
right,
have.
All right, we won't maul you all today.
That's my bear voice.
Bear voice.
Right, it's like bears talk. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. By the way, over the weekend, I think it was last night or at some point that wasn't today, I put a thing on Twitter. I said that I'm constantly sort of generating these ideas, you know, that I myself don't have time to execute, that I don't have time to institute. Are you looking for a plug for your MacBook over there?
I am, but don't let me interrupt you.
No, there's a cable right there to your left. And all you do is that's an extender cable, and you just take the little snap off your little power plug there.
Thank you.
That's courtesy of our friend Thomas Gill, who gifted that to the studio.
That's
I think because he was tired of hearing Sarah Dillon kvetch about how she couldn't
find one.
Yeah, it was like impossible. Because then you had to trail the cord.
Right, right.
And it was like such a far reach to the outlet that the cord then did that thing of being suspended about a foot off the ground, and then the only purpose of it was to trip you.
Right, right.
So there you go. What was my point? But I put a thing on Twitter over the weekend saying that this isn't very interesting. I'm going to end this line of conversation now. I was just about to just talk about something I typed into Twitter as though it was like an actual story that amused people. And I realize now, after the grammar debacle at the top of the show, I'm not even going to go down that off-ramp.
All right.
This program is available later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. You can also take it with your new mobile device. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program, where I have no such self-control, where everything is deemed interesting. That is next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Here is Eric D. Snyder.
A collision between a dump truck and an Amtrak passenger train in southern Maine this morning has left the driver of the truck dead and a few of the passengers who were riding the train suffering injuries. Amtrak's Cliff Cole says trains won't be running for a little while on the line, but they hope to have the track cleared by the afternoon rush hour.
We're setting up bus service for the frequencies, the next couple of frequencies for the day, and hopefully the equipment can be taken off the track for the 5 o'clock down Easter run, but the next couple that are already out en route will have buses set up for them.
And here's the thing. I don't mean to make light of the fact that there was a fatality, but I mean, that's...
I bet you do.
Well, not as such. I mean, not... In other words, it is not personal. I don't know anything about
the
deceased.
Sure,
so
fair enough.
It's about him as an abstract part of the story, let's say.
Okay.
As a sort of... as an avatar.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how you want to end your life, as a thing that's got to be hosed off the tracks so that other people can get home so they can have a martini.
That's a good point.
I mean, really, it's like you live however long, and you struggle, and you face adversity, and you overcome, and you have setbacks and advancements. You live, you love, you laugh, and then really, you just end up as one line as an impediment. That's it. You're like your final contribution to mankind is just to block other people from getting somewhere, and you're a thing that they have to get off the tracks after you're dead.
That's a good point. That is a sad way to go.
Unfair.
Well, being hit by a train, anyway.
It's no picnic.
Well, yeah, and it's one of those things for which there's almost no excuse.
It's true.
I mean, they don't really come from out of nowhere.
They're large and noticeable.
Yeah, and there's usually a thing that blocks you from going to where they are.
And it's a 75-ton piece of metal that's rumbling from, like, miles and miles.
Yeah.
Look, there's one that is so far outside the window, I couldn't be hit by it if I had to.
Yeah.
And yet, every single time it goes by the studio, everybody in the audience sends me and goes, "Train going by, huh?" I mean, it's really, they're what you call big.
Now, in this case, for all we know, maybe there was a malfunction with the thing that tells you it's coming, and maybe it's not the guy's fault, but probably it is.
I mean, the tracks are right there. They're not decorative.
Yeah.
Here's
the guy explains more about the accident.
We've had 109 people on board that train. There were some reports that we're getting of some minor non-life-threatening injuries on board, bumps and bruises, those type of injuries, but no other injuries reported other than that.
Just a guy looking angrily at his watch and, you know, ruining that he's going to miss Deal or No Deal.
Again?
All right, so there you go. That is, there's that story. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Today we have not a single, but a double snuff watch, yes?
Yeah, we do,
double
indeed.
Double snuff watch. Hold on, double snuff watch. I'm actually making notes myself because it's actually a mystery even to me. It's just a panoply of exciting delights being unfolded. Double snuff watch coming up next hour. Also, things.
We have a geek watch.
We have a geek watch. Yeah. Excellent. Fantastic. Geek watch.
Make a note of that as well.
And I have a top five that I was putting together. I may or may not actually have it ready for next hour. It's a long story. I was going to say the name of the top five. I'll just say it. So I was doing this top five, which occurred to me. There is a story behind this, but again, what with the boredom and the tedium and the so forth. But I was going to put together the top five songs about jailbait.
Oh.
So, you know, just artistically speaking.
Sure, sure.
So so that was going to be the top five songs about jailbait next. I may or may not actually have that done.
I like the sound of that.
It may have to actually... No pun intended. It may have to age just a bit. It may not quite be ready. It may take another day or so before it's fully able to be used. Here's Eric Snyder. Quit talking again.
Hey, in lighter news, free Slurpees today.
Oh yeah, it is National Slurpee Day.
Today is 7-Eleven.
That's
July
right.
11th. So if you go to 7-Eleven, they'll give you a free Slurpee. Guess how much of a Slurpee they'll give you.
Is it like a 4-ounce Slurpee?
No, it's 7.11 ounces.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
That's still very small, I say, as an American getting something free.
something unhealthy and bad for you, and you wish there were more of it for free. any 7-Eleven all day long. You know what they were first called? Slurpees?
Wait, hold on. Is it at all like the word Slurpee?
It is.
Slushy?
No.
No.
It's more the second half of the word that's like it. Ices. I-C-E-S.
Now, wait a minute. Now, there is an icy.
There is a thing, I think. Yeah.
They have it at Kmart.
Yeah, I think they began selling Slurpees. They were then called Icies. In what year do you suppose they began selling Icies?
37 years ago.
Not too far off. 1965.
So that would be 46 years ago.
Yeah. And more than 40% of all Slurpee drinks have been sold during the summer months of June, July, and August,
and
which stands to reason.
And by the way, the only flavor anybody ever really wants is cola. I mean, that's the universally...
Really?
Well, I mean, maybe not the only flavor, but that's the universally agreed-upon favorite flavor of Slurpee, isn't it? Or perhaps cherry?
I was going to say red. Red flavor.
Yeah.
Which I guess is cherry. But everyone
red,
just called it red.
Red's not really a flavor.
Well, but everyone called call it a red flavor.
No, I get
want the red, yeah.
I get what you're saying there. So I wonder if the, if that was like an offshoot of the Icy brand, because the Icy is the thing that has the weird... I used to think it was a really depressing logo when I was a kid, but now it probably seems sort of retro in like an Atomic Age way. It was the... It was like squares. It was like rectangular boxes that were ever so slightly offset, and it said Icy in it.
I remember that. That sounds vaguely familiar, yeah.
And I do believe that that is actually, I don't know if it's like the house brand or whatever, but I think that that is, they are located inside Kmart's, or at least that Kmart's all had an Icy sort of stand you that was like at their little deli or something.
You are correct about that. You now find them at, you find them everywhere. Sears, Walmart.
All the exciting places.
All the places.
And then there was a slush
okay,
puppy.
Here's what it, okay, 7-Eleven licenses the IC and markets it as the Slurpee. So it's the same thing.
So Slurpee is icy.
Yeah.
And
icy
is, okay.
7-Eleven, they call it Slurpee, but it's the icy, and it's the same icy you can get at Walmart or everywhere else, apparently.
So I wonder if that's a thing where they branched out or whether 7-Eleven just stole it and then eventually had to, like, make some sort of restitution and call it something else.
Possibly. If I read this Wikipedia article in more detail, I could probably find out.
Now, there was the Icy, there is the Icy, there's the Slurpee, and then when I was a lad, there was a thing called a slush puppy, which was the same thing. But that appears to have gone by the wayside. So, all right,
yeah.
Slurpee. You know, it's funny that Slurpee ended up being the bigger deal because it's kind of an unpleasant name.
Slurp is not a pleasant sound.
No, and it's just onomatopoetically, it's off-putting.
Slurp.
You know, icy just seems, it seems more festive, more joyous.
Slurp.
Yeah, no, it's, do not want. But I'm in the minority, because apparently people do want.
Apparently. So. And they get one for free.
That's right. So at all 7-Eleven locations, which, by the way, there's a damnable paucity of 7-Elevens around here. There's just not that many.
That's true.
The only one that I can think of that's around here, that's around these parts, is on Hawthorne and like 44th.
Well, and but there's one on Widler or Broadway.
There is
between Grand and MLK.
No, you're right. There's one there, and there's also one downtown now on 4th and Taylor.
There's one up in my neck of the woods, up in North Portland on Killingsworth. There's actually a lot of 7-Elevens, Rick.
There's actually two of them downtown. Now that I think about it, which is weird because there's nowhere to park. You know, and they're purportedly convenience stores, so I guess it's all foot traffic. I mean, I guess you're not really getting a lot of... I guess maybe there are more than I thought about, because I've noticed this in my hometown, that, you know, there's much has been made of the 7-Eleven as the sort of, you know, the congregating place of wayward youth in small towns. But in my hometown, they've gotten rid of all but one 7-Eleven. And it's like, for there were a few years where it made me really honestly, like, completely disproportionately angry and depressed. Like, I didn't even live there anymore, and I got really, really, like, uptight, and I got all this agita about the fact that there was no 7-Eleven anywhere within my old, where I no longer lived.
Right.
Just because, you know, like, where will the hard-scrabble youth of, you know, 2003 or whatever it was, you know, go to hang out?
In my hometown, it was Circle K.
Circle K.
Circle K is where we all hung out.
That's right. Circle K is a, now, I don't think that's a regional thing, but, I mean, it's just, that's a thing that was...
It was in California is where I was, and they're around, but yeah.
They're still around, right? I mean,
I believe so.
There's your AM, PM. Those are the big three. Your AM, PM, your Circle K, your 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Because the Plaid Pantry, I think, is almost
regional.
Exclusively in Northwest.
And back east, they got Wawa. Do you know Wawa?
Are you making this up?
No, you have the face that I'm making. No, it's a thing. W-A-W-A, Wawa. That's their, like, back in Philadelphia, that general part of the world. Wawa.
No, I have nothing. Is it basically just a regular convenience store?
It's like 7-Eleven or Plaid Pantry.
You know what somebody should do? Huh. Somebody should totally license the Snappy Snack Shack from Heather's and make that a real place. I would totally go there.
Or the Quickie Mart from The Simpsons.
Yeah,
if there were a chain of Quickie Marts.
Remember when they actually remade some of the 7-Elevens into Quickie Marts for the release of the film?
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
Hi there. It's a news program. It's Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Here with Mr. Eric D. Snyder. You can find out more about, I'm just going to keep saying it even though it's wrong, at EricDSnyder.com. Also, film.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Movie BS with Baron Snyder, Fridays here at Cascadia.fm at 11 a.m. Here is Eric Snyder.
At least 40 are dead after a Mexican drug gang battle. If you're doing it by the numbers, Mexico's drug wars are rivaling the bloodiest days in Iraq and Afghanistan with
well
at least
done.
One metric. So kudos to Mexico. Fighting in three separate cities during a 24-hour period this weekend has killed over 40 people, leaving authorities to clean up the grisly aftermath.
Are you sure they didn't just win some sort of a sports championship?
There's a fine line.
Yeah.
The Associated Press reports battles between Zetas gang and other drug cartels left at least 20 dead and 5 injured in one bar alone in the northern city of Monterrey. 11 other bodies were discovered outside of Mexico City, shot with high-powered rifles, some of them with bound hands and wearing blindfolds. The rifles were had bound hands and were wearing blindfolds, apparently.
This is a day for strange grammar and syntactical dilemmas. Also, so this did this just start happening?
This weekend was apparently an exceptionally busy day for it, but obviously the drug thing has been going on for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, why the spike? In other words, is it like, is there some sort of a, is there some sort of gumball rally of drug dealing happening down there right now? And it's, you know, it's like whoever can kill the most arch rivals, you know, within a space of 48 hours wins something?
In the spirit of Don Taylor, whose shoes I currently occupy, I will make up an answer and say,
awesome.
Yes.
Excellent.
They were having
Fantastic.
A convention at the Mexico City Convention Center for drug dealers, and things got a little out of hand. They all went to the nearby Applebee's, had a couple of drinks.
Is it like some sort of a, it's like their version of a fundraiser? It's like if they can kill enough people, they'll get a tote bag and then also be able to control the heroin distribution for that region.
They go around to the neighbors and get sponsors, like for every person I kill, like the fun run or whatever.
Totally. It's exactly what it is.
No, we have a quote from federal security spokesman Alejandro Poirier.
My job is pointless.
He says, the violence, the product of this criminal rivalry surrounding the intent to control illegal activities in the community and not the only... the earnings that come with it, but also with transporting drugs to the United States. That's what he said.
I don't think you actually finished. That wasn't a complete sentence.
No, it wasn't. An estimated 35,000 people, by the way, have died since Mexico's President Felipe Calderón began stepping up efforts against drug cartels and organized crime in 2006. Wow. 35,000 people killed in the last 5 years.
Man, war on drugs is really going well.
Yeah.
Prohibition seems to be working out flawlessly.
Yeah. Yikes. On Saturday, United Nations Human Rights Chief Navi Pillay...
Hold on. Are you going to do another zany accent?
No, because I don't know where this person is from.
Oh, okay.
Navi Pillay. This person voiced concerns not only for the general well-being of Mexicans caught in the growing violence there, but also the U.S. role. Pillay said, I call on the United States of America, reported to be the main consumer of drugs and supplier of guns in and out of Mexico, to do more to help this country be safe. I'm sure we will get right on that.
Yeah, no, it's, we're all about self-control here.
Yeah, and we're doing such a good job of taking care of our own country. For sure we'll step in and help Mexico.
Somebody said, I forget who said this, that the amount of money we spend on drugs every year in this country as consumers is almost exactly the amount of money that we spend trying to fight drugs
right.
As a country. So yeah. That seems to be... this seems to be an illogical way to go about it.
Yeah. So, more dead people down there in the war on drugs.
If you should decide to unveil your... by the way, and your accent was actually good. It managed to be amusing while not offensive. That's a delicate road to hoe.
I was going for offensive.
Damn
I'm sorry.
It. I ain't gonna try harder next time.
I will.
All right. And I'll accompany with my mariachi bed. You know, just laying a little... underneath. So.
Appreciate that. Military suspended Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The Pentagon has ordered the U.S. military to begin accepting applications from openly gay candidates. The Army Times reports that the Obama administration issued a temporary halt Friday to the enforcement of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, instructing military officials to no longer discharge openly gay recruits. The decision comes 2 days after a federal appeals court in California ruled that the Department of Defense must immediately stop enforcing the law because the law is unconstitutional. The moratorium does not officially repeal the controversial law, so it does clear the way for a permanent end to it.
So this is... All right, so it's not a thing where they have to... It's an odd way that you phrased it, though, or maybe it was written that way, that it's not that they can't... It was written in a way that made it sound as though it's not that they, you know, that they have to, that they have to then open, throw up the doors to everybody. It almost sounded like they were being given a quota, like they just had to go beat the bushes for like the, you know, like they had to like
find some gays.
Go through the neighborhood. Yeah, seriously, and just round up a sufficient number of gays to meet their goal for that month.
No, it just says they can accept applications from people who are openly gay.
Okay.
Whereas before they could not. Now, okay. If you're openly gay, you may apply and they will not reject you just for that reason.
Okay, so it's not like they have to swing through,
like
a dog walker's convention or
no,
something and just sort of, you know. You want to join the military? No, get in the truck.
I don't think so.
All right.
My understanding, though, is that with Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal, now this means that everyone in the military will be gay. My understanding is that that's what happens now.
There should have to be like a gay month. You know, or like a, just so everybody can sort of, until you've walked in another man's shoes.
Right.
So this, can be until you've
slept in another man's bed.
See, I was trying to figure out like a shoe joke to make there, and I wasn't able to do it. If there was an easily recognizable and understood and amusing term for those shoes that have the what are they, articulated toes? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, those creepy toes.
What are they called?
I don't know.
Toe shoes?
Something like that. I don't know. They're creepy though.
Clearly, this joke has to be taken back to the shop and worked out a little bit.
Work on that one some more.
Until you have minced in another man. No, see, it doesn't work. Nothing. I can't. Until you've flounced. It's like I've got to start, I just don't have an end. I got
to
begin.
And you need to have a kind of shoe that is distinctly stereotypically associated with gay men. And I can't think of a kind of shoe that necessarily
no.
is.
All right. Well, we'll revisit this tomorrow.
We'll have to work on our stereotypes.
Every day afterward until the joke is done.
Let's talk about politics, wanna?
Sure.
Why not, really? Negotiations are set to continue today over raising the nation's debt limit. Republican House Speaker John Boehner and President Barack Obama are trying to come to an agreement on a package of spending cuts and tax hikes before an August 2nd deadline. Obama says they want to craft a deal with the maximum amount of deficit reduction.
Is this Obama 1?
Yep.
The reports that have been out there have been largely accurate that Speaker Boehner and myself had been in a series of conversations about doing the biggest deal possible so that we could actually resolve our debt and our deficit challenge.
Largely accurate means it left at the part where they were kneeing each other in the groin savagely in the Oval Office.
Where 40 were killed in one bar alone.
See, here's why you're a bad person. I'm sorry. I should take it back. Here's one of many reasons why you are a bad
sure.
person.
Why not?
Because you
again.
Say that and I laugh. And then that's when I start getting snarky comments, people saying that I am laughing at the deaths of 40 people in a bar. Really, here's the thing, and I don't mean this in a terrible way. Those deaths are just incidental to the comedy.
Exactly.
I'm not saying they're less important than. I'm just saying they are separate and distinct from. They exist ancillary
exactly.
To the comedy.
Exactly. Obama praised House Speaker John Boehner's efforts at striking a deal. While he praised his efforts, he's also said the politics for the speaker are especially tough.
The politics that swept
tough.
Him into the speakership were good for a midterm election. They're tough for governing.
I think that's sort of a great subtle. What that really means is like that he's not qualified for the job, and if they had it to do over again, nobody would have voted for him.
Right.
It was at a confluence, an Aristotelian confluence of circumstances that resulted in him getting a job that he's clearly not able to do effectively.
Good for you. Good for you, Obama. So they're working on that. Speaking of debt, got another one. Or were you about to?
Is this the second set of debt sounders?
I'm looking at the Greece. Oh, there is another debt thing. I was looking at the Greece thing.
Yes. No, that's fine. Yeah, there's the second set of debt stuff. We'll do that next hour.
I
should say also, coming up here in a few minutes at the bottom of the hour, we'll do Science in the March. Later on this hour, your entertainment news. And next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com. Today, Double Snuff Watch, Geek Watch, and quite possibly a top five. We are joined today by Mr. Eric D. Snyder, who is in for Don Taylor, who shall rejoin us tomorrow. Here is the aforementioned Mr. Snyder.
European finance ministers are in Brussels, Belgium, for an emergency meeting on the Greek debt crisis. They're considering allowing the country to partially default on its debt. Meanwhile, the trouble is spreading to the continent's third-largest economy, Italy. Martin Weiss from investment firm Weiss Ratings says Europe's debt problems are a warning sign for the U.S.
Yes, it's a warning to us that things might start to become unpleasant
to the
economy.
We had no idea.
The United States and most major indebted countries in the world have followed a path which is not so different from the path that Greece and Italy and Ireland and Portugal have followed as well.
He's fundamentally unlikable. I don't know anything about him.
He has a whiny, whiny voice.
Seems like a terrible person.
He also says U.S. banks care what happens in Europe because of loans made to European financial institutions.
Who would be loaning money to Greece at this point?
I don't know.
Okay.
If Greece defaults, they have to mark down those assets. It's a big hit to the
Everything
European
must
banks,
go.
Which in turn hurts our banks.
Thanks.
It's like it just seems like it's one big Amway convention with a bunch of guys selling crap to other guys. No one has any money to pay for the soap, or like the dish scrubbing, implement that they're trying to sell you. And so everybody is offering to buy the detergent based upon money they think that they're going to get selling detergent to like the other guy. And then, it's exactly like that.
That's pretty much the way it is, yeah.
No, it's a flawless analogy.
Greece is in trouble, and then Italy. It's all going to collapse.
Let's do one more here, and then we'll do some science on the march.
A heat wave is building and could reach dangerous levels in central and southern plains states this weekend, or this week. 15 states are under heat advisories, which means temperatures are expected to exceed 105 degrees. In Wichita, Kansas, Sunday, temperatures reached 110 degrees, and more than 900 people were without power. Including these people called the Clark family. Brandon Clark sums it up simply.
Yeah, it's a hot one out here. Very, very, very hot.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Brandon Clark, American.
Wait, there's more. Brandon and Kayla Clark have been struggling to keep cool in the record heat without air conditioning.
I'm sweating inside the house, making the sofa all wet. You can just feel it.
I've been wiping myself down with a cold water, wet rag and everything.
I've been making the sofa all wet.
Oh, man.
Oh, what a sex machine he is. That's awesome.
That is awful, though. 105 degrees with no air conditioning.
No, it sucks. And, well, yeah, once the power goes off, I mean, that's the, you know, it's just that there's, that's where you just go and live at the river or something.
Well, yeah, because now you can't watch TV or anything either. All you can do is just sit there and die.
Just sit there and hate each other.
Yeah.
Sit there and hate everybody ever and the God that made them, just cursing the universe and
pray
all that
is sweet release of death.
Well, and that's, you know, and I got to tell you, that's, this is why, and I am totally, I have no... you know, like I am as plagued by you know, by lame white liberal guilt as the next guy, probably more so. But here's where I draw the line: is my air conditioning. I don't apologize for my air conditioner at all, ever. I don't feel guilty about it. I really only lament that we live in a world where everybody doesn't have air conditioning.
Exactly.
Because air conditioning is, as I've said many, many times, I say this every summer, it is like the single greatest, I mean, better than the television, better than the hot pocket. I mean, it's better than anything mankind has ever invented. The air conditioner is the toppermost of the poppermost in terms of inventions.
I don't know how they did it. Like, I'll read a novel set, you know, 150 years ago. And first of all, they're wearing clothes that come down to their ankles and their wrists
totally.
All the time. And they're in the summer with no air conditioning. How did they live? I don't understand how people function.
Well, that's why they look so pissed off in pictures all the time. It's I have a photo of my grandmother when she was like three. And so that would have been, I don't know, 1902 or something.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where the women are all wearing bonnets and the guys have got like spats and bow ties. And they just look all pissed off at the camera, just sort of like a grim sort of squinched off mouth. And
they had to stand still for 5 minutes to expose the photo.
Seriously.
You know, in the middle of August
and
or
it's,
whatever.
Yeah, it is. And it's July in California. And they're just sitting there looking angry at the photo. And you wonder how they're not just... And then also, they appear to be like sort of dogs in that they're not sweating. I don't know if they just pant when the camera, you know, is not pointed at them or something, because there's no, like, they're not like this guy who's just...
I'm sweating inside the house, making the sofa all wet.
I mean, right. Look in the photograph and everybody appears to be glistening free.
You see no wet sofas in those photos.
No, not at all. So,
maybe that's what the bonnets are for. You take off the bonnet and it's just filled with sweat.
I was going to try to make an automotive reference there, and it just fell apart. I was going to say it's like the thing on a Corvair, and then that didn't really come together in my head. But I make this observation probably every summer, which is that you think about 200-300 years ago, and it's like the richest, most powerful man in the world had limited opportunities to control the to make it cooler.
That's
and
right.
They had things like aqueducts traveling through buildings and whatever, which I guess moderates it to some degree. But I mean, this seriously, you go push a button on the wall and it's 65 degrees in like 15 minutes. That is a power. That is like you are like Prometheus stealing fire from the gods, except you're stealing ice from the gods. And watching and sitting your big American ass on the sweat free sofa and clicking away in comfort all the live long day.
Slurping up your free Slurpee.
Exactly. That's what makes us the most feared and loved nation on earth. Our free Slurpees and our air conditioning.
That's why the bears are rising up.
Exactly, because they're looking to say, I want some of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's freaking, these caves are just, they're just filled with dust and aphids and we're having to hibernate all winter long because there's nobody handing us free food from the 7-Eleven. We had to wait on these fat-ass Americans to come bring us Pringles every now and again. And then when they're out of Pringles, you got to, and then they scream all the time when you start eating them. And so it just, to hell with that.
I'm starting to come around to the bears' point of view here.
Prefabricated double wide in suburbia. That's what they want. So I'm just saying. And I make no apologies for the air conditioner. I'm not one of these guys that you wait till it gets too hot. I mean, when it breaks like 65 degrees, I uncover the air conditioner. I make sure that everything's clean. Make sure the Freon is all taken care of. I make sure that everything is in place. I make sure that all of the appropriate, because I got an air conditioner at one end of the house, air conditioner at the other end of the house.
Nice.
And then I have a series of very carefully placed fans throughout the rest of my home so that I can circulate the cool air. That
nice.
Really is. I will never again live in a place or drive a car that does not have air conditioning. I mean, you might as well just, you know, put a bone through your nose live in a cave.
We're not savages.
No, we're not. No, we are. We have risen up. We have evolved. We have ascended to a higher plane.
Indeed.
We're this far from clear. That's what I'm saying. Air conditioning is one of the final steps. It's OT15. People don't really know about that. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. We're joined by Mr. Eric D. Snyder in for Don Taylor today. Do we have your Science of the March?
We sure do.
Science of the March brought to you by Squires Electric. What's that? Your air conditioner not guaranteed to run? You're afraid that if you put it in, your entire neighborhood's going to be the victim of rolling brownouts and you will be set upon by your friends and family?
I had a case of the rolling brownouts over the weekend.
It's funny how you went one way and I was going to go the other way. I was going to tie it into Aaron Duran somehow, but yours is probably better. Make sure that when you there's nothing worse. Like, you get the air conditioner all set up. It's like the summertime equivalent of the Christmas tree. You string all the lights, you get everything hung, you get everything wrapped, you get everything lined on the roof, you get everything you press a button, and then it just, for one bright, shining moment, your house flickers, and then it either just bursts into flame, or it just doesn't turn on ever again, and then your home is just a pitiful chasm of blackness. You don't want to do that. And you also don't want to be the guy sitting there, you don't want to be this guy.
Sweating inside the house, making the sofa all wet.
I mean, really, honestly, who wants to be that guy? No one. No. Least of all you, and here's the thing. As a member, of the most advanced generation that the Earth has yet seen. I mean, by dint of being alive right now in 2011, you do not need to live an air-conditionless, existence.
No, you're better than that.
Really, that is exactly right, Eric. And so you should take your birthright, embrace what is yours, and make sure that it's going to be able to run properly. So get Squires Electric out there to look at your home or your business. Or perhaps you're a home-based business. You can contact them at SquiresElectric.com or Facebook.com/SquiresElectric. You can call 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. So don't wait until it is too late to find out that things are not wired the way they ought to be and that you are overtaxing your electrical system, your broadband, your what have you. SquiresElectric.com is where you can be found, or Facebook.com/SquiresElectric. They are the proud sponsors of this, your Science on the March.
You know what scientists have discovered? A gonorrhea superbug.
That seems like the worst discovery ever.
Yeah. I don't know why they were looking for it, but they found one. Discovered a superbug strain of gonorrhea in Japan that is resistant to all antibiotics currently used to fight the sexually transmitted disease. Researchers worry that the strain could transform the easily treated infection into a global health threat and say that it is already proven resistant to the only antibiotics that are still effective in treating gonorrhea. One of the researchers who discovered the strain called it both alarming and predictable.
Now, is gonorrhea is not the clap. What's the clap?
I think that is the clap.
I don't know.
I think gonorrhea is the clap.
Okay. You know, it's a shame that it's such a hideous association for what is really linguistically a pretty sounding word.
Gonorrhea.
You know, it's like diarrhea. Same thing.
It is. It's a pretty sounding word. Like, you can see someone naming their daughter that.
Like, we really ought to go back and just, and assign that name to something else. That's what I'm going to do when I get a time machine made. I'm going to go back. First, I'm going to step on butterflies left and right, and then I'm going to assign those words to be for like a jewel of some kind.
Nice.
You know, and then just, some words, it's like, the unpleasant sound goes with maybe not an unpleasant thing, but at least a thing that is neutral or that is not often discussed in polite society.
Right.
Crotch, for example.
Slurp.
Slurp. But gonorrhea, I just feel like that they really got the short end of the stick.
That is too bad.
With that. I'm sorry, so there's a gonorrhea superbug.
No, there's a magic one that resists the... Because right now it's an easy thing. You get
it's
gonorrhea.
Magic.
You get gonorrhea right now, they got antibiotic, it treats it, no big deal. But now they found this magic one that's has like superpowers and it doesn't respond to the treatment. Here's one of the researchers says, since antibiotics became the standard treatment for gonorrhea in the 1940s, this bacterium has shown a remarkable capacity to develop resistance mechanisms to all drugs introduced to control it. Do you know what will happen if you leave gonorrhea untreated?
Wait, something bad.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. Let me just guess. We're gonna go to the greatest hits here. This survey says, blindness.
No.
Insanity.
Yeah, probably. Well,
I got nothing.
I don't know. In women, it can lead to infertility and ectopic pregnancy. Japan has historically been the place for the first emergence and subsequent global spread of different types of resistance in gonorrhea.
Well done, Japan.
That's one of many areas which the Japanese have beaten us.
You know, here's the thing, though. In a way, that's like it's sort of a reflexive compliment, too, because it means that they're sexing just day and night.
That's true.
They're just humping it out like nobody's business over there.
So much that their drugs can't even keep up with the new kinds of STDs they're creating. There were indications that gonorrhea could become a superbug last year when reports emerged from Hong Kong, China, Australia, and other parts of Asia about the disease's resistance to drugs. The STD is one of the most common in the world, and there are about 700,000 cases annually in the United States alone. About half of those were from Lindsay Lohan, though.
Sandy Frank presents Gonorrhea versus Zegra. In a Tomovision.
All right. What else? Oh, garbage disposals. Fishy garbage disposals. Fish in the North Pacific consume 12,000 to 24,000 metric tons of plastic annually. Debris that collects from across the Pacific into a slowly swirling offshore gyre known as the Great Pacific Garbage Patch.
Wait, so fish really are solving the problem of trash disposal and of pollution.
Thank you, fish.
Well done.
Starting at these gyres, I'm not familiar with that word, G-Y-R-E.
Yeah,
the gyre. I guess
well,
it's like a big swirly thing, I guess.
It is just because it's in Jabberwock.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The gyre and Gimbal in the Wave.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. You're right. The gyre's eastern edge, some 1,600 kilometers west of California, the team netted floating plastic and 27 species of fish. Stomach contents showed more than 9% of fish, mainly lanternfish, had eaten bits of plastic.
So really, this seems like it is pointing the way toward the problem. We just need to, toward the solution, we need to breed a fish that lives on plastic,
yes.
Right?
Yes, and apparently this lanternfish likes the plastic,
okay.
Eats a lot of the plastic. It may be killing the fish.
Well, it's killing the weaker among the fish.
Well, yes, only the stupid fish.
Natural selection doesn't... Look, if nothing is ever selected, then it's not natural selection.
That's
not everybody... It's a zero-sum game. Not everybody gets to go to the next grade.
That's a good point. Good point. What do you get, lanternfish, for eating plastic? So good. Fish are cleaning up our mess. Good
See, so there's like one in 1 billion of those fish, though, will thrive on plastic, and then will pass along its genes to the next generation, and bada-bing. Yeah, like 10, 12 years, the problem is going to be solved.
And then 10 to 12 years. And then if we stop polluting the ocean, that breed of fish will die.
It will be incumbent upon us to continue creating plastic.
Exactly.
See, it's all one circle of life, Eric.
We all need to do our part.
That's right.
Once hunted to local extinction, this is a different story. Southern right whales are swinging back to the coasts of New Zealand.
Is that when someone's the right reverend?
I guess, yeah. They're called the right whale. Huh. I was not familiar with this kind of whale. And I know my whales. Until the 19th century, when their populations crashed, the giant acrobatic whales migrated north from subantarctic waters to New Zealand during the winter. Now, scientists say 7 individuals are again swimming these well-worn paths. Researchers from Oregon State University and the University of Auckland report the observation online in the Marine Ecology Progress series. Researchers used DNA sequences to identify the whale's home population and found that a few whales had rediscovered their former New Zealand breeding grounds.
I don't think an underwater path could be well-worn.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm just saying. All right,
Fair enough.
They were nearly hunted to extinction.
And now there's several of them that are back on the old trail again.
All right, then. It seems like there's some sort of a joke there with the wrong whale, the right whale.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be.
Yeah.
All right. But they're rebounding, as they say.
They're rebounding.
Okay.
Good for them. Out there doing it in the water, making new baby whales.
Creating new whale STDs. Congratulations.
Science. Science. According to science, that's what it says. Science, colon. Science says lack of vitamin D may have killed Mozart.
Uh-huh.
During his short life, the Austrian composer Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart suffered from many of the era's common illnesses, including smallpox, typhoid fever, tonsillitis, and upper respiratory tract infections. What exactly it was that killed him in December 1791 at age 35 is still a matter of debate. Now, two researchers offer a new theory, vitamin D deficiency. In his high-latitude home in Austria, Mozart was probably running low on the sunshine vitamin for half the year. That deficiency may have put the musician at risk for many of the illnesses he suffered from. If only Mozart had known about vitamin D and had access to his supplements, he could have doubled his lifetime's output of work, mused William Grant, a retired NASA atmospheric physicist who has been following vitamin D research with great interest for the past decade. And he argued the same goes for several other famous musicians who died at young ages. William Grant says almost every disease has a vitamin D connection these days.
nowadays, these kids and their vitamin D deficiencies. He sounds like he's probably just a whiz bang of a guy to hang out with.
Probably a lot of fun.
Spending a decade studying vitamin D deficiency.
He says that he thinks Mozart's story holds a cautionary tale for modern musicians who might want to consider getting outside for a practice session or two.
I hope that we never have a soundbite or a quote from this guy ever again. I hope he never appears in another story. You know, the thing is, it's the idea that they're just making stuff up. I mean, really, on just like an unbelievable, because, you know, like there's no way to know. That's the thing with all these stories. It's like guys who, here's the thing that I had to just swear off of when I was, I don't know, maybe like 20 or so. I had to swear off of reading or watching anything that claimed to have finally answered the Jack the Ripper question. Because you just, at a certain point, you just go like, that's never going to be known. I'm going to take it off the, I became a Jack the Ripper. I embraced a sort of Jack the Ripper agnosticism.
There you go.
In the sense that it is not knowable by me and will never be knowable by me or probably anybody. So I'm going to put it on the list of things I don't care about anymore.
There you go. All right. There you go. Yes. Good. That's probably. But on the other hand, it wouldn't help to, or wouldn't hurt rather, to get more vitamin D.
No,
more
I should probably get some vitamin D.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that works though, because, like, how do you really get vitamins from the sun?
I don't know.
I mean, is it just sort of? Is it that it trigger? It probably triggers creation of the vitamins by something in your body.
As opposed to the sun's rays actually sending vitamin D and our skin absorbs it somehow?
It's not like you're being pelted with Flintstones chewables or something.
Maybe it is.
You know, and, but they're very small and they just go in, you know, they go through your skin. That would be weird. And I think probably wrong.
I don't know. I really don't know.
It's a thing that happens.
Just get out in the sun. Just go out in
the
sun.
Just do it. Just do it. All right, is that the end of science?
I can do another one.
All right. Let's do one more here.
Birth defects linked with mountaintop mining. Rates of birth defects in coal mining regions of four Appalachian states exceed those in non-mining areas by at least 10%, and by 26% if local coal is mined by mountaintop removal.
Yeah, it's the mining that causes the birth defects.
In the Appalachian, yeah.
Yeah.
University scientists from West Virginia and Washington State mined a federal database to show that although low income appears to play some role in the elevated risks associated with mining generally, mountaintop mining multiplied the risks.
Uh-huh, yeah. Mining is the good. Whose sister are you having sex with? Mine. That's it.
Zoing.
Bam. It's a comedy there.
So the lesson there is don't live in the Appalachians.
Seriously, be born somewhere else, and that's the best thing you can do. There you go. Sure, Science in the March brought to you by Squires Electric at squireselectric.com or facebook.com/squireselectric. While you're there, please hit the like button if you would. Don't forget, coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com, Friday's thing, Double Snuff Watch, also a Geek Watch coming up, and I'm actually unsure whether we're going to be speaking with Ryan White from the Oregonian. We may, but I am not entirely certain about that. It's one of those things that I knew, and then I don't know it anymore.
Well, who knows what the future will bring?
It's a blank. It's a tabula rasa. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, the horizon, the road is open. The horizon is limitless. I mean, the future is ours. There's no fate but what we make, Eric.
It's very inspiring.
Coming up next hour, all of that, whatever that might be. Is it Rick Emerson Show? .com, or you can listen for the low cost of just 32 cents a day, and your first week is free. Just go to rickemersonshow.com. Here is Mr. Eric D. Snyder.
So up in Anchorage, Alaska, they've got this city van that they use to pick up drunk people and take them home safely.
They take them home, or do they take them to like the place to the Otis cell downtown?
No, I think they'll take them home. It's for people, you know. It's a city program. No, you're right. It shuttles them to a sleeping center,
right.
But it's not jail. It's like they're not
a box.
Yeah, just take them someplace safe where they can sleep it off, and then I guess find their own way home. Well, and they should have seen this coming. Thursday, a 35-year-old man got into this vehicle. With the keys were in the engine while the attendants were dealing with helping load up some drunks in the back of it, and the guy got in and took it for a joyride.
Fantastic.
The man's name is Donnie H. Weston, 35 years old. Police say Weston drove the van for a significant distance, including driving against traffic, and eventually crashed the van into a bus and ditched it. Police say, here's the best part, the inebriated man in the back of the van didn't notice the joyride.
No, of course not. No, he was just lost in his own thoughts and reflections upon his
existence. Would have thought that the van meant to drive drunk guys around would at one point be driven around by a drunk guy?
This is like, you know, I was at a Plaid Pantry this morning, and while I was there, a guy was coming in to, to either replenish or take away the money, but it was a Brinks guy.
All right.
And he comes in, and he's got the full Kevlar and the gun and the whatever. And then I looked outside, as I always do. I don't know why. It's not like I'm ever going to rob a bank or something. But it's like that thing of, like, you always go, like, you know, could I?
Right.
And so I looked outside, and of course, you know, the other guys in the truck, because I think it's a rule that one of them always has to stay in the, like, no matter what is happening.
Right, yeah.
Like, they could be feeding the other guy into a mulcher, and it's like the guy in the truck's like, sorry, Stu. Bad luck for you.
You got to stay with the truck, yeah.
Yeah, and you got to stay in the truck. So you'd think that, like, with a... I mean, by definition, you are surrounded by people who are ultra high risks for drunk driving, and yet you just never think to maybe even just take the keys with you.
Yeah,
Yeah. Who could have seen that coming other than, like, everyone?
Right.
All right. Let's do one more, and then we'll do, and then do entertainment news after that.
Oh, I like this one. All right. A teen black belt who lost bowed, then kicked his opponent in the face, police say.
Awesome.
This occurred in San Jose, California. They say a 16-year-old Florida boy is facing charges for assaulting an opponent after losing a martial arts tournament. The San Jose Mercury News reports that the Miami Lakes black belt was booked on a felony assault charge after he bowed to his opponent, shook his hand, and then kicked him in the face.
Fair play does not exist in this dojo.
The injured teen, who was also 16, had some of his teeth knocked out and underwent surgery at a local hospital. He's recovering at home. Newspaper says that after being booked, the Florida boy was cited and released to his parents. The names of the boys have not been released. The incident, which took place last weekend, was initially thought to be a fight before two opponents. Well, that's phrase wrong, Associated Press. It's actually thought to be a fight between two opponents before a taekwondo match. National taekwondo organizers say they are considering serious sanctions, including banning the suspect from the sport for life. So apparently they had the fight, and then he lost, and then he kicked the guy in the teeth.
I do like the idea, though, that, you know, like in his mind, the fight wasn't quite over yet,
right,
though. That it's like, you know, that existentially speaking, is the fight really ever over?
How do you, yeah, exactly. They finished officially, and he bowed, shook hands.
And then just sort of, your shoes are untied. Bam!
Yeah.
Right in the face. All right. It's, you know.
That's terrible, but it's also hilarious.
I shouldn't admire that, but in a perverse way, I kind of do.
Because I like that he went to the trouble of formally bowing, shaking hands, and then.
Well, of course.
When your guard is down.
The guy doesn't bow, then how are you ever going to make appropriate contact? You know, need a face.
Good for you, 16-year-old Miami boy.
Wonderful. Excellent. Fantastic. That, I think, more than anything, sums up the tone and tenor of this news program. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. We're joined by Mr. Eric D. Snyder and for Don Taylor today. Here is your entertainment news for Monday.
Victoria Beckham gave birth to a baby girl Sunday morning at Los Angeles Cedars-Sinai Hospital. Beckham and her husband David Beckham are also the parents to a 12-year-old Brooklyn, 8-year-old Romeo, and 6-year-old Cruz.
So this is what, their fourth kid?
Their fourth one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Goodness knows what...
She seems awful pointy and pokey, but he seems to like her.
She is pointy and pokey.
She's like I saw her in person once, and she's tiny, but you know, not in the way that, like, you know, so you meet celebrities and you think they're taller or whatever. She's just all triangles and
she's
edges and angles,
yeah, like a bag of antlers.
Yeah, just yeah. I think I described it as it would be like having sex with a cheese grater. You know, just seemed very, very unpleasant.
Yeah, but Beckham seems to like it. Hey, you know who else gave birth? Kate Hudson. She and her fiancé, Matt Bellamy, are now the proud parents to a baby boy who was born late Saturday night in L.A. Hudson is also mother to 7-year-old Ryder, whose father is the guy from the Black Crowes. Matt Bellamy is the front man for the music for the rock group Muse. She got a thing for the rock singers, apparently.
And also, apparently, just for breeding with guys that are almost, by definition, not going to be around in like five or 6 years. I mean, I just don't understand. I mean, whatever. Have kids, don't have kids. I don't understand the... It's like that, you know, it's like the people who meet or they go out on a date or, you know, or two, and then immediately they want to move in together.
Right.
I don't get the whole thing of, like, you just immediately want to reproduce with somebody. It just seems like, you know...
A rock singer.
Yeah, you just put that off. You know, your uterus isn't going anywhere.
Well, maybe hers
not,
might be.
Not right away.
No. She's not getting any younger,
no,
Kate Hudson.
Well, that's true.
She's not getting any younger, nor is she getting any more enjoyable to watch in movies.
That's not likely to change,
no,
by the way.
She has peaked.
No.
She peaked at whatever the... Where did she come from? What was the movie that she
Almost
came...
Almost Famous.
Yes. She came from that.
It's the only good performance she's ever given.
And it's been a downhill since
It's
then.
Funny. I was actually just watching that movie last night. I forget why, but I was... Oh, it's because we're going to use something from Almost Famous, by sheer coincidence, for the opening speech on the Rick Emerson show today. Mm. And so I was watching Almost Famous, pulling some audio from it last night, and I haven't seen Almost Famous in probably 5 or 6 years. I'm deliberately waiting several years to watch it again because I love that movie so much, but I wanted to sort of get some distance from it so I could kind of watch it fresh.
Right.
But that's the only good performance she's ever given.
Yeah,
I mean, that's it.
I think that's literally true.
Yeah.
And it's not that it went downhill from there. It's that after that, she jumped off a cliff.
Yeah.
And then just keeps going on that low level from there.
Well, she's established a niche, I guess.
Jennifer Lopez will be back for another season of American Idol.
Hooray.
With Steven Tyler and Randy Jackson.
Yeah.
Good for them.
All right.
Christian Slater has signed on to the yet-to-be-titled action thriller starring Sylvester Stallone. The movie, which will be directed by Walter Hill, centers on a New Orleans hitman, played by Stallone, who teams up with a New York City detective to take down a corrupt lawyer who has exploited victims of Hurricane Katrina.
See, here's a movie filled with a whole bunch of people that I like. and yet I know that it's going to be terrible.
Probably.
I mean, Christian Slater, I root for him. I have a very soft spot for Sylvester Stallone.
Everyone loves Stallone, yeah.
And that, like, and I like him personally, and then I have always found myself rooting for him to start making better movies and better decisions, and to actually, you know, make something that I think reflected the talent that I think is probably still there somewhere. I like Walter Hill.
Yeah.
But it's like, Walter Hill's made some movies that I really quite liked, but you just know that you look at the three and you go, that's three things I like that are going to add up to a movie no one watches.
Walter Hill directed The Warriors, 48 Hours.
Yeah.
Was him.
Also Crossroads.
Brewster's Millions. another 48 Hours, and it kind of goes downhill. Wild Bill.
I think he also
Supernova.
Did he do Trespass? With ice,
he did.
Yeah,
1992.
Bill Paxton, an ice cube.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a guy that he's made some movies that I quite like, and so I really root for him to sort of, you know, kind of get his act together and really just make like a. That's it. Here's the thing about these three guys you just mentioned: Stallone, Slater, and Walter Hill. When is the last time any of them had like a real home run?
It's been a very long time.
You, I mean, arguably, Stallone had Rocky Balboa, maybe.
Yeah, and the Expendables didn't flop.
Yeah, you know, but it was,
no one really loved
didn't
it.
Really perform the way no. we wanted it to. None of these guys has had a home run in a long time, and you kind of hope that they will, but you sort of know they won't.
Walter Hill also, he was the producer on Alien and Aliens.
That is true.
Alien 3.
Yeah, so, him and Gail Ann Hurd.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see.
I'll reserve judgment.
Reserve judgment. I will say this, though, that Sylvester Stallone now looks like someone took a Sylvester Stallone action figure and left it on the dashboard of a car.
He's demuscled a lot.
Yeah, and he's melting, and he just looks awful.
Has he had the work done, do you think? Has he had a lot of cosmetic surgery?
He just looks plasticky and gross.
You know who looks flat-out horrifying? I saw a picture of Barry Manilow the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's weird. I mean, the thing about Barry Manilow, at least in this one photograph that I saw, which wasn't from, like, The Enquirer or something, I mean, it was... You know, it was a gossip site, but it wasn't like they caught him sneezing.
Right.
Or whatever, which they sometimes do.
Sure.
Where it's like he's yelling for a cab, you know, and then poor Ving Rhames, his plastic surgery has gone, and it's him like as clearly, like as he's coughing or he's shouting at somebody across the street. But this picture of Manilow where on the one hand, he seemed much younger, and then on the other hand, like he just seemed like he'd been, remember when Jerry Lewis was all full of steroids?
Yeah.
And he's like, he just had the big pumpkin headed thing going on. And that's kind of what Manilow has going on right now. It just seems all like his head's been hooked up to some sort of an air compressor.
Yeah.
Just seems very, very unfortunate.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
All right. We got like 3 minutes here. So whatever else we got in entertainment, let's do that.
Ryan O'Neal is fighting the University of Texas over a painting of Farrah Fawcett. That's interesting. The University of Texas Board of Regents are suing Ryan O'Neal as they want O'Neal to hand over an Andy Warhol portrait of O'Neal's late companion Farrah Fawcett. O'Neal's spokesman released a statement claiming that the university has known for over a year that his client had the painting. Ryan O'Neal's friendship with Andy Warhol began 10 years prior to his meeting with Farrah Fawcett, said the spokesman. When Ryan introduced Andy to Farrah, Mr. Warhol chose to complete two portraits of her, one for Ms. Fawcett and one for Mr. O'Neal. I guess the University of Texas claims that Farrah Fawcett bequeathed the painting to them, and they want to get it from Ryan O'Neal. And Ryan O'Neal says, no, it's mine. And there you go. That is a weird thing for a university to want.
Really?
Like they're going to take him to court over a painting of his dead girlfriend.
I was actually just going to say, and also the idea that there's an Andy Warhol. Wait, so it's a painting of Ryan O'Neal, and then it's another one of Farrah Fawcett?
No, it's Andy Warhol did two paintings of Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, I see. So he didn't do one of Ryan O'Neal.
No, he did two paintings of her, one for her and one for Ryan O'Neal to keep. And now the university is saying that the one that Mr. O'Neal has...
What do they plan to do with it?
Put it up in their Farrah Fawcett wing.
I mean, that doesn't really seem like a thing you can hang in the regent's office to sort of greet new students.
That's a weird thing for a university to want.
All right, well, to each their own.
I suppose. Carney Wilson might lose her home, but...
This just in, Rick Emerson doesn't care. Not at all. Could not possibly care less.
Do you know the singer Monica?
I do.
Oh, really?
Monica as in The Boy Is Mine?
Maybe. She appeared on this season on The Voice to help coach CeeLo Green mentor singers. Anyway, she married one of the Lakers. I shouldn't have even started this story. I'm sorry.
we're hip deep into this now. Because
I don't know this Laker Shannon Brown. That's a basketball player, I guess. Shannon Brown.
You realize that you don't know and I don't care.
Yeah. Okay. Kobe Bryant was at the wedding. I know that name.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Yeah, good for them. Those happy kids.
Relevance. we got 38 seconds.
Really?
Yes.
I should mention some local news. Oh, the main road to OHSU is going to be closed today through Labor Day. It's the, what do they call it? It's called Sam Jackson Park Road, and they're tearing it up and taking it apart. So basically, you can't go to OHSU.
Excellent.
Anymore until Labor Day. So don't get sick between now and then.
We're just gonna go out on that one.
There are detours, but yeah, you know, just watch out is what I'm saying.
All right, that's gonna be the that's gonna be the tone, the foot on which we leave people. I'm just gonna with that thought. We bring everything to a conclusion. We want to thank Mr. Eric D. Snyder for filling in for Don Taylor today. You can find out more about him at ericdsnyder.com or film.com. And also, you can hear him Fridays at 11 a.m. As a half of Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. And with that, fantastic. I'll leave you with this thought. Listener Seamus says, man, Eric is a dick. He should totally be on more. Well done, sir.
Thank you, Seamus.
The Rick Emerson Radio program is next at rickemersonshow.com today, featuring Double Snuff Watch and a Geek Watch. This has been Legion of News. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, it's Mr. Eric D. Snyder and for Don Taylor. Advanced Technology, magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Ackler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. You can get this program later on today via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com or via your mobile device at mobile.cascadia.fm. We will see you again tomorrow, that is Tuesday at noon, for another exciting installment of Legion of News. Have a safe and satisfying Monday, won't you?